Morning, everyone. The Bible says that God is more interested in the heart than the externals of life. However, if we're honest about it, very often we're more interested in the image that we project. With a view of covering up what's really going on inside. That being the case, there's a fundamental difference between how God looks at us and how we view ourselves and humanity as a whole. Image, dress for success, convey an impression. These are the things that we tend to be most interested in. Probably everyone is familiar with and remembers O.J. Simpson's story. He was the epitome of the success story in America, the land of opportunity. Born into a tough area of San Francisco, troubled kid, fighting as a teenager, heading to jail for his future, really. Fortunately for him, he could run, and he was big and strong and elusive. Some coaches got a hold of him, recognized the talent, tried to whip him into shape, into doing what he needed to do. Still, he was too lazy for school to make the grades to get into a college, so they helped him to get into a junior college. And right away, as soon as he started making records in football. He didn't do so well academically, but he made it to USC and became an All-American. And then as an All-Pro, he set and reached the Hall of Fame. There were movies. He was a famous commentator. A famous commercial where he always tries to get people to rent Hertz cars. In the process, he made millions, though. He was regarded as a model to young people, the athlete, the strong man, the guy who made good on his opportunities. And now we hear what he was really like when his story came out. And it's a sad story. The image was superb, but the reality was something else. We've got to be more concerned about the heart. God is. I think we need to be as well. It's out of the heart that we make our decisions of life. And that's why the Bible mentions the heart almost 1,000 times and why several dozen of them happen in the book of Psalms. I want to read to you Psalm 37, first 11 verses. It says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they shall soon wither. Like green plants, they will die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." In our lives, we see a lot of turmoil in our world. We see a lot of wickedness happening. And that's what this sermon is towards today. A rule of biblical interpretation is that if you see a phrase repeated, that's kind of in the context. That's kind of what this text is about. There's a big point towards it. And did you notice what the big point of this was? Don't fret. We don't use that word very often. Maybe an applicable word is don't get frustrated. Don't worry, right? Life is frustrating, right? No one would deny that. Let's face it. Many, many people have this deep longings and aspirations in their heart of what they want to do with their life, but circumstances that they see don't allow that to come to fruition. And then what happens? Frustration sets in on those unfulfilled desires. The psalmist, however, tells us that we've got to be able to handle those frustrations of life. We've got to be able to deal with them. Even though our longings of our heart may not be satisfied, why do we so often find that our longings are not met? Why is it that unfulfilled desire becomes the center point of our existence, the dominance of our existence is what we don't have? Young couples get married and look towards having children only to find that they are infertile. people don't do well at their job or doing well at their job suddenly find that they've been cut, they've been fired. Single people, many of them have a real desire to be married. People who are married end up divorced, not because of what they wanted, but because of it being forced upon them. It's not what they want. What are we going to do with all these unfulfilled desires in our life? We come to verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, we've got a problem with that a bit here. We know we are supposed to believe Bible verses like this, but then we look at what our world is, and we think, is this really true? We've underlined them in our Bibles to the point of it bleeds through to the back of the maps. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But many of us, if we're honest, would say that behind that smiling exterior, our heart is frustrated with these unfulfilled desires of doing what we had hoped to do. We can't figure out why these verses say what it does and remain unfulfilled. But notice that we should always understand Scripture in its context. We've got to look at verse 5. Verse 5 goes to say, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. What will he do? He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. That doesn't mean that you come before God and say any old thing that you want. God, you said it, I believe it, so that ends it, so do it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I desire this, so do it, right? He says, no, it's not like that. Your righteousness has to shine like the noonday sun, like the dawn. The justice of your cause like the noonday sun. In other words, your desires of your heart have to be legitimate. They have to be according to God's will. You can't just say, well, I want a car, God, so give it to me. It doesn't work like that. We have to realize that God is out for our betterment, for the best for us. The early days of Billy Graham, he was over in England. He was a minister there. He was kind of catching some attention with his southern drawl, his flashy ties. And he would say some pretty interesting things. And this was about the time that Elizabeth Taylor, the English actress, was still hitting headlines, really. In those days, she was still young, she was still beautiful, but she was having all kinds of problems. And Billy said to the congregation that he had been in touch with her and knew what was going on. A mutual friend, Dr. Joe Smart, saved her life when he operated on her. And Graham said to this congregation, don't envy Elizabeth Taylor. Pray for her. One man in the back row stood up and said, I pray for her every night, but I still don't have her. I wonder if he underlined this one verse without the rest of it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We've got to realize that there's a context here of what he's saying is it's got to be in accordance with God's will in the very next verse. But so many people look and say, well, that's my verse, and God's going to fulfill my desires, really. Life is difficult. Not getting what we want, waiting on God's actions, it's not easy stuff. But it is what's best for us, right? It's hard, though, still. It can be very frustrating waiting. Then there is the frustration of life's injustices. The psalmist seems to be really frustrated with life's injustices. Probably one of the biggest injustices believers tend to see is that being a believer makes life harder. Being a believer doesn't make life easy. Yet being an unbeliever, you see they have life so good. It's so easy. Everything just kind of falls into place for them. Now, if we're God, we'd reorganize it. You guys who are doing right, you get to have the good stuff. You get to have the easy life. You guys who aren't doing so good, zap, you're out of here. We have the I'll show them attitude. If we were God, for some reason, though, God doesn't do that. It doesn't work like that. The ungodly seem to have it good, and so they do the enviable things. We go back to verse 1. Says, do not fret because of evil men, but be envious of those who do wrong. If you were to pick up a copy of People magazine, you would see a lot of people who their life is going great, it seems. They've got a whole bunch of different things. They go on vacations that you can only dream of. They are able to do things in life daily that we don't get to do all that often, maybe even once in a lifetime. And we oftentimes look at that and say, why, God? Why do they get the good things in life while we struggle to make ends meet, while we struggle to make life work? It's not fair, right? We get to verse 7. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And you think, God, I know people like this who are succeeding. They are horrible people. Do you know the guy who I work next to at the desk at the office? He cuts corners all the time. He pads his expense sheet so that he can make things look much better than they really are. Do you know what he does when we go on trips? We get in the hotels and everything. And would you believe it? I've been a straight arrow for you, God, but he's the one who gets the sale. Honestly, God, they seem to get away with murder often. So the ungodly, the wicked plot against the righteous, gnash their teeth at them. Kind of the, I'm going to step over you because I can mentality going on there. In my situation, Lord, what do I do? What's right? We oftentimes wonder, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to be? And people just gnash their teeth at us. They give us dirty looks. They give us dirty statements, really, about who we are. And they get away with it. You look at verses 16 and 17. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. We get to verse 3 as well. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And you think, why do I have to trust in God when no one else is? Why do I have to trust in God when everyone else is just saying, you know what, take what's yours. Do whatever you want. We think, I'd rather have control of these things. I'd rather have it work the way that I want it to work. Look at what they're doing and it works for them for some reason. I'm supposed to trust and work and it doesn't work. And we get frustrated with that, right? You're told, I have got to do good, but other people don't do good. I'm the one that's supposed to have the servant's heart, but other people won't even lift a finger to help. The ones that don't lift a finger don't break a sweat at all. The ones that are the ones trying to do the right thing, trying to be the servants, to make themselves available, who really want to serve, and what happens? Get stepped on, right? We oftentimes look at our world, we see the gloom of this. Verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You think, why? Why do I have to wait? Why don't you just do something for me, God, so that I don't have to do this waiting? It's hard, God, trusting you when I don't understand what you hold in the future. It's very hard doing good when other people won't. And it's very difficult being patient when nobody else is waiting. But not only that, look at verse 8. He says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. God doesn't just want us to leave it at be calm. Now He's saying, don't be angry. Don't take revenge. That's what we're called to do as Christians. That means that whenever you're at the store and all the people are complaining about how slow the lines are, the price of milk or whatever it may be, the price of gas, God doesn't want us to go in with that crowd of complaining about things, complaining about how hard life is. But then you think, God, who's going to hear the problems that are going on in my life? They won't be able to fix my problems. Yes, that's kind of what He wants us to do, is to be patient. We oftentimes want to have the last word, really, right? But if we really are God's people, we've got to trust that God knows better than we do. God has a plan that we don't always understand. If we act otherwise, then our hearts don't truly trust Him. We've got to be like Christ, even when we think no one else is. The frustrations of life, unfulfilled desires, the frustrations of life's injustices, the frustrations of life's battles. But we can't turn around and change what the Scriptures say. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust him, and he will do this. What does all this mean? I think there are two lessons that come through pretty strongly from the psalm here. Things that either you believe or you don't believe. It's not a middle ground here. And that's why we are called to the life of faith, not knowing always. God will prevail is number one. And number two, God will ultimately satisfy. He will be satisfying enough for us. If we're ever going to live with frustrations, if we're ever going to handle the frustrations of life, we've got to learn these fundamental lessons. Do I honestly believe that good will eventually prevail? That God will overcome all these things that I see of injustice? Despite the fact that as I look around, I see all the people that are doing different things, that are not interested in doing good in the world, not only interested in doing good at all, but apparently are succeeding in life better than we think we are. Over and over again, the psalm says, we're not to fret. Verse 9 says, evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. He asks that question. Do I really believe that God has my betterment in mind? Deep down, do I believe that good will prevail? Am I convinced that God will triumph? Do I know the end of the story, that God will win in the end? In the midst of the situations of life that we find ourselves in, do I believe that God gives me the ability to live wisely and well in the circumstances that we can't change? We assume that we have the right to cure, for everything, and it should be quick and painless and as little expense as possible, when in fact reality tells us that there are some things that there is no quick fix, that we've got to work things out. Verse 23 and 24, if the Lord delights in a man's ways, he makes his steps firm. He stumbles, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds his hand. The question that we have to ask ourselves is this: do I allow my frustrations to govern my heart? Or do I allow the biblical principles to be the bedrock of my life and the cause for my attitude and my decisions? So what do we do with this? What do we do with the psalm that we read here today? I think it's point clearly. Trust in God. Do good. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way and trust him. It's the person who gets in the car and lets someone else drive that has true trust. Do we allow ourselves to get in the car and let God drive us? Let God take us on a journey, so to say. Do we let God lead us where he wants us to go? That's the call. Let God lead you. Do good in the world as much as you are able to, no matter the circumstances going on in your life. If you have prayers, we can surround you with love because this is God's people. Yeah, we mess up, but we're able to surround you with love. We're able to pray for you. And we know that God does good. If anyone has needs for prayers or to be baptized for the first time, please come tell me as we stand and as we sing.